Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app. We're also live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. You can stream us live. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. There are some nuts out there on the table where you can just grasp, and I just picked up five.
Yeah.
Five or six. Spicy.
That's because they're from India.
Why? Who put the nuts out there?
I brought them. So my neighbor,
I kind of liked them, but
my neighbor's Indian, and his mom came to town for, she comes to town for like 6 months at a time, and she brought some nuts for me. So they're, so I think they're cashews, but they've got Indian spices.
Yeah,
so I brought them in just to see if you guys would like them.
Right,
I would say I like them, but I wasn't
they're
necessarily
just spicy.
Prepared
I'm not
for
into
the
spicy. I'm out.
Oh, okay,
I'm out on that.
All right, well, they're out there if you want to check them out.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? Are the Nats in better shape now? Here in the short term, both these guys are interim. That, you know, you can't overstate that. They may get full time gigs. Who knows? Cairo named yesterday as the manager on an interim basis. He's done this before, right? He replaced La Russa a few years ago. I think he went 18-16 in his 34 game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then DiBartolo, who I guess was hired here as an intern 10 or so years ago and has been assistant general manager, whatever his current title was.
Assistant GM.
Now he's been elevated to the interim GM. He's more of an analytics-based guy, apparently. He had some four or five guys that were anonymously quoted as saying it's, you know, kind of a completely different way of thinking about things and that they're excited for this.
Yeah, if you read the article by Spencer Nussbaum and Andrew Golden in the Washington Post, pretty interesting when you read about how the apparently, the front office feels about this switch to DiBartolo. Apparently, DiBartolo had a video conference with members of the baseball operations department.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave his short-term priorities, and he said what the owners, apparently, the powers that they gave him.
Mm-hmm.
So his first big deal is he's got to figure out who they're going to pick in the draft, right? They got the top pick. But one of the people who commented in this article said he's going to be integrating our analytics into our day-to-day work stream a lot more. He's going to be pushing for us to catch up on the tech side. I think that we've done the work, the diligence to know what is out there, what we like to do, and now it's just kind of operationalizing it from there. So
a lot of generalities there. I mean, of course, the front office is going to be positive after making the change.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you know, I mean, there's no way that Rizzo was telling Mike DiBartolo, no, we're not doing that. We're not, you know, he wants to make the team better. Maybe it had something to do with the cost. And maybe ownership wouldn't spend money on it.
Look, I'm just saying that this Post article makes it seem like there's a different approach from DiBartolo.
Okay, but he was the assistant GM. I can't imagine Riz would just tune him out every time he talked analytics.
No, I'm not saying that he tuned out, but there might be more of an emphasis now versus Rizzo's approach.
Well,
that's at least what these five people who all remained anonymous said.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of pointed to a different style and a different emphasis.
What were you going to say, Valdez?
It's a completely... It's a huge philosophical switch.
Yes.
For instance, if an organization is fully embracing this analytics and tech model, the game is basically pre-played before they're on the field. Meaning, if they bring in this reliever, this is who we're subbing in to pinch hit. If X is the starter, this is the lineup that we need to go with. If this person's playing, this is the shift that we're going to do. It's kind of a...
Yeah, but I feel like they embraced a lot of that.
No.
Remember, Dusty was the one that they said didn't embrace any of that.
Yeah. I don't believe for a second Rizzo didn't embrace that.
But
Davey didn't either. I don't believe
that
for a second.
This is what...
But there's a varying degree of it.
This is what yeah, one front office
okay,
would say.
It could be a great agreement. Like, I don't think it's a completely philosophical difference. I don't believe that.
What I'd say is, to me, just my perception is, Miguel Cairo feels like more of the same. He's basically Davey's right-hand man. He's a bench coach. You know, done that before. They're passing the baton to Cairo. Mm-hmm. It seems to me, just reading this, that DiBartolo is very different than Rizzo. In fact, one employee in the article said, where I'd most readily start is this is not hiring Mike Rizzo's assistant. Even if that's what it is in practice, this is a very different person. Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if people are looking for the new age, analytically minded, have his own ideas person, that's what you're getting here with the institutional knowledge of the people in the group that he's working with.
All right, well,
and then all five of these anonymous sources, they seem to credit DiBartolo for the Soto trade.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Rizzo has to approve it, but apparently he was masterminding it before they made the trade.
It's kind of like what we heard about Adam Peters when he was in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. This poll is goofy. It's just like the stories we do, the study from that says you need 10 hours of sleep a night from a mattress company. Right? Yeah. It's the same thing. These guys all want to keep their jobs. Of course, they're going to say, oh, yeah, things are great. This guy's an amazing, everything's super positive here. We're looking to the future. They're not going to say it's doom and gloom. They want the learners to keep him so everyone keeps their job. You can't have an opinion a day in. You're not going to say anything negative about him.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be positive.
It's a flawed poll. I mean, let's take any credence in that.
Let's see what happens to me the rest of the way. But at the bottom line is, if you don't have the talent, I don't care. You can throw all the philosophical, you know, spew out there. I don't care. If you don't have the talent, you're not going to beat the majority of the teams you play.
Yeah,
and they don't have the overall talent to have 500 seasons.
But part of that has been the drafting. Part of that
has
been
I understand
the
that. So I'm just talking about,
they can improve,
I'm talking about
that,
in-game stuff.
I know, but if they can improve the – look, you're not going to see a difference this year. But if they can improve over the next few years some of the drafting and the farm system stuff.
Okay, well, if they retain him and he's the GM next year going forward, all right, let's see what kind of a difference there is. Yeah. But the ownership also has to increase the payroll. They've got to double the payroll. All right. They've got to go out and get Kyle Tucker, or they've got to go out and get Brent Rooker, one of these free agents. They've got to put talent around the young guys.
Yeah, but I'm looking long term. I'm not looking like this year. Like this year, I don't think you're gonna see any difference.
I think I'm saying the next 2 or 3 years, if ownership says, all right, we're gonna keep our payroll down, but DiBartolo is this, you know, math genius, that ain't gonna win divisions.
Jason, you have to come to the realization that 2012 and 2018 are not going to happen again. Like, this is their new formula. They're not going to.
You might be right.
They're not going to give a GM a blank checkbook and tell you to go build me a competitive team. They're going to have a shoestring budget. They're going to keep the payroll low.
Well, I don't think that'll work.
That's not going to work.
I don't think that's going to work.
It's not going to work in this division.
It's a harder window to navigate through, but it is possible.
You have a lot
more things that need to go right for it to happen.
I refuse to accept that we're just going to be like a low budget team for here on out. I just refuse to accept that.
I think that you may be right that this particular ownership group may do that. You might be right on that.
Maybe they will.
And based on their track record, because Ted is the guy who was spending money. It wasn't Mark. It was Ted, his dad. Ted's not around.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark and whoever else is making the decisions financially probably have a totally different opinion. But you may be right. If that's the case, they're not going to the playoffs unless all these young draft picks become superstars, and the odds of that aren't great.
Do you believe in the rebuild with these guys now in charge?
Just because these guys are in charge? No, I don't believe it.
I put that up as our poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is only 100 calories. Zero carbonation, that means it's easy sipping. We love our Surfsides. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety. 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. I'd agree with you. I don't necessarily believe in the rebuild because the owners... I keep saying owners. I guess we're going to say Mark Lerner. In the article, it talks about his guy, Gottlieb. Is it Gottlieb?
Mm-hmm. The CEO or COO or whatever. Other guys, yeah.
But I don't believe they're going to change their ways. Yeah, Alan Gottlieb.
I mean, if they're Matt, if they're going to have a shoestring budget, the chances of them making the playoffs are going to be very tough, of course,
against a team with a blank checkbook.
Well, you don't have to have a blank checkbook. You just got to increase it by 30, 40, 50%.
But this
you can't have a payroll of $70 million and expect to win games in that division. You've got to double that payroll. So if they're at $70 million, bump it to $140, get a couple more bats in that lineup with, you know, to someone protect
and
James
then you
Wood.
You still have to hit on all your guys.
Well, I mean, the Dylan Cruz and the Brady Houses of the world have to
hit. I mean, how about we had Sean Casey on? He has questions about Dylan Cruz.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to give up on Dylan Cruz just because. I mean, this year toss it out because he's missed the entire.
I'm not giving
year
up on
much.
Him, but my eyebrows are raised.
Year three, if you don't see significant improvement, yeah, you might be right.
Let's go to Shane. Shane, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. What do you think?
What's going on right now? What's going on, Justin? Morning to you. Right now, I don't trust anything they're learning. As long as they own this team, we're going to be a farm league for the MLB. That's a fact. We need pitching. How do you win in this league? Pitching. We've not had pitching since the World Series, since we were World Series with Scherzer and all those guys. But the thing about it is unless they don't spend money, like we're the Bengals of the National League. I mean, the MLB, right? We got to spend money. And what's to say James Woods and these guys, when it comes time, they don't want to be here, right? We got to keep the guys that are here, but at the same time, you got to win. Winning solves everything. But right now, we can't even get out of it. I mean, we're in our own way right now, and we got to do something. But no, as long as the learners own this team, no, we will be a. And I agree with Matt 100%. That little survey they did is just BS. And we need help. And I don't know what we're going to do, but as long as they own it, no. I'm done with the Nats until they can figure it out.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it.
What do you think is going to happen in 2027?
All right.
Okay. When Mackenzie Gore is in his final year of arbitration.
I think he'll be gone by then.
Yeah, he may. I mean, he might.
You'll have to move him before.
But that's my point. If you want to, you talk about pitching, if you want to keep the young pitching stars, and this is a guy that they traded Soto for. Are you going to just give up on him and because you don't want to pay him? Based on what Mark Lerner has done the last few years, you'd probably say yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that, yeah, they're going to lose half or more of their superstars when they come up. Mm-hmm. That I do believe. Let's go to Glenn in Sterling. Glenn, what's up?
Well, what's up is I have zero, nada, no faith. They've sucked all of my optimism out of me. The bottom line is we still got the same owners and they seem to have a let them eat cake attitude. Where are they? Why do they keep throwing? I'm glad Davey got out of this mess. I was bleeding for him with these stupid pregame and postgame and the same stuff. And I mean, I'm glad he should be relieved because he'll find somewhere to work. And as far as Rizzo, all these years, it's always been the same line. I've got the resources. And then when you had him on, and that whole discussion about the machine, and I heard him yammering and yabbering and coming up with, oh, we're going to get it. I'm saying, why don't you just say the truth? And it is about resources. You don't have them.
Well, it's hard for a guy in that position to trash his boss.
He's not going to kill his boss.
I mean, you got to understand that.
He lost his job anyway, didn't he?
Well, I guarantee if you talk to him now, he probably would.
He'd probably be like, they wouldn't get the trajectory.
Look, listen, I think Mike handled himself as best as he could.
He had an every other year contract. If he was that miserable and everybody says he can get a job tomorrow, he should have gone. He should have taken advantage of it. Instead, he stood in front and came up with the same over and over and over line. We have the resources. If I go to them, I'll get the money. And then you find out 25 out of 30 teams have a machine that he couldn't get. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's just I don't have any faith. I don't believe in the learners. This is a show me time. It's not a we're going to time. It's a show me time.
So that they've turned the reins over to this DiBartolo guy who's more allegedly but way more analytics minded than Mike, you know, a newer school sort of philosophy. Yeah, so
same
it doesn't impact you.
Doesn't the same owner, same tight-fisted, Where's the money coming from? They got to go to them just to buy Ziploc bags? I don't know. But if that's the bottom line, is at the top. I mean, we all know it's at the top. You can tell by the calls you're getting. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, thank
anyway,
you, Glenn.
That's why I have no faith.
All right, thank you, buddy.
I think that's fair. I just looked at the early voting. You can vote at Junks Radio. 85% don't have faith, much like that caller.
I think Nats fans should be a little more encouraged because once you accept that this ownership, this is how the ownership group is going to act, the new GM kind of follows their creed, their credence about what they want to do. Like Mike would be a great GM on a team that's willing to open up their pockets and spend a little more. But when you're hamstrung like this, I think this is the general manager where you need to find a 1% edge on whatever analytics equation that you're throwing out there for that game that day to do.
I think it's a lot harder to win that way.
I know it's a lot harder, but this is but philosophies finally align between the GM and the ownership group. Mm-hmm. At least you would hope so. Mm-hmm. At least that's encouraging because he knows what he has to do. He knows he has to go find a starting pitcher who will be your fourth or fifth starter for $3 million that can give you the production of a number two.
I'm just
on the scrap heap of all free agent pitchers out there.
As cheap as the learners have been in the last few years,
that ain't happening.
I'm just not willing to accept that they've decided that we're going to be the Pirates. I just can't accept
that. It's hard to accept that.
But what's shown you that
they haven't?
The previous 10 years when they did spend money.
Well, I mean, well, things change.
That's the problem, that things change, and that's a different person spending the money.
Or is it that, and it makes perfect sense, they knew they were going to suck for a few years and they were going to tighten the belt.
Buying some time.
Yeah. Mm. Buying some time, and then when they think that they're more competitive, I'm maintaining that seems like a plausible theory.
This would have been the year to add some bigger pieces because you
I
had
agree.
Wood,
I thought
Abrams,
they would have
and
added
Gore.
A little bit. I you, thought they would have added a little
two
bit.
Two all-stars. Yeah. Arguably three, because Abrams was one last year.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right.
And this would have been the year to add a couple pieces around them, not Josh Bell and Nate Lowe.
Well, if we're just going to be the Pirates.
And Rosario.
I'm out. If we're just the Pirates, I'm officially out.
Yeah, well. You've said that before, though.
No, but this is real. This is real.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.